How can you use your subconscious to harness the power to do incredible things? I mean, truly remarkable things. In a moment, Wayne Walker joins us as we talk about hypnosis and the subconscious mind next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Wayne Walker, professional speaker and trainer known for creating innovative programs on varied topics, including stress management, sales and management training for leading businesses and corporations. He's a certified hypnotherapist. Wayne has also impacted the lives of so many people with in-depth knowledge about different personality types and the ability to bring about self-improvement through careful analysis of human behavior. His website, myhypnosis.net, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And Wayne, welcome to the program. Good to have you here.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here.
Do you get some people who confuse you with the late Detroit Lions broadcaster, football player Wayne Walker?
You know what? I used to live in the Bay Area, and if that didn't happen on a daily basis, I knew I was going to have a bad day.
Because he ended up being a sportscaster at WPIX television, didn't he?
Yeah.
I was in Detroit when he was playing for the Lions.
And
he was a great football player. But when I saw your name, I went, I think this Wayne, he died a few years ago.
Alive
and kicking.
I'm alive and kicking.
Hey, tell me a little bit about how you got involved in what you do.
Well, I tell you what, when I was 11 years old, I started martial arts training, and I continued through the years and made my black belt just as I turned 18, and I started kickboxing throughout the state of Texas. And I had a friend who was a psychotherapist, and he did hypnosis, and he asked me one day, he says, you know what, I'd like to hypnotize you to help you with your training. And not really knowing anything about it, I said, well, I'll try anything. And his name is Davis, and he literally got me to the point to where all he had to say was one word, and it would put me in the state of being focused, almost like you hear athletes talking about being in the zone. Well, he put me in that zone. And he conditioned me that when I heard the bell go off to start the fight, that I would go into this zone. And then when the bell rang to end the fight, I would come out of it. And pretty much I did that, and I don't remember anything in between. And it just fascinated me. And I would have competitors tell me afterwards, said, you know what, says, I hit you with everything I had. And you had this weird look in your eye. He says, you pretty much scared me. And it was just one of those things that just I grew interested in over the years. And being in sales and sales management and going to seminars for sales and that NLP, being exposed to NLP, which is basically what I consider the little brother to hypnosis, I had an opportunity to learn to hypnotize years later. Moved to the Los Angeles area to take over my dad's construction company. And I woke up one morning looking at L.A. Times on Sunday, and the big one-page ad says, learn how to hypnotize free. And it was a school.
Huh.
So I called them, went down there, took their two-week course, learned how to hypnotize people, said, you know what, I want to do this.
You loved it, didn't you?
I just enjoyed it. It was fascinating. I learned a lot, never intending of really turning it into a business. It was just something that I enjoyed doing. I worked with athletes in that. And for almost 2 years, I was just exposed to various things hypnosis could do. I became a handwriting analysis certified, so I read handwriting, and it's one of the tools that I use when I work with people. And it's just a really fascinating thing. And what I learned, George, is that hypnosis is one of those things that we go in and out of every day. It's a natural state for us. And the unfortunate thing is that people don't realize that. They don't realize that there's this tool called hypnosis that they can tap into to solve so many issues that they may be going through, or improve their learning or retention or overcoming fears and addictions, aggression. I mean, just you name it. Hypnosis has that ability.
Is it like self-hypnosis? There are many times, Wayne, where I'll be driving from point A to point B, and I'm fully conscious and I'm driving well and I'm, you know, prepared for anything, but I don't remember from point A to point B. It's almost as if I blocked myself out and I just appeared all of a sudden. Do people do that?
Well, that's a natural state. That's called highway hypnosis. And what happens there is the subconscious mind, its number one priority is to protect you. And then what it's going to do is it's going to create habits and it's going to take over the mundane things that we do every day to free our conscious mind up to think about the things that we have to. For example, in the morning, when your feet hit the floor, you start the process of habits, getting your coffee, getting the paper, doing whatever. And as you're going through these habits, which your subconscious mind has created and put into your life to organize your life, it's freed up your conscious mind to think about things. So when you're driving like that, you're thinking about, well, I got to talk to this person, I'm going to do this, and because you're in the conscious world. Okay, your subconscious mind has taken over the process of driving. Now, if you're driving down and there's a car next to you and all of a sudden it makes an odd movement or whatever, your subconscious mind is going to snap your conscious mind into it and says, this, you need to take over.
Right, and you're ready instantly.
Instantly. It's instantaneous. And, I mean, if you look at athletes or soldiers or anybody that does stuff who operates at a high level, they're automatically going into this state. They have to.
That's amazing how that works. Now, who invented hypnosis? How did that happen?
Well, hypnosis has been around for years. It's been around since man. Okay, it's a God-given tool that we have access to that we don't utilize enough. But in terms of the word hypnosis, that word is fairly a new word. It came into being around 1841 by Dr. Braid. And the first part of the word, hypno, is related to the god of sleep, the Greek god of sleep. And that's the first time that word was used in the English language, and it just kind of stuck. But it's one of those things that if you go back, if you look at shamans, in different tribes, if you look at churches, they use hypnotic language. I mean, look at the preachers and politicians and speakers. They all use hypnotic language in order to draw people in to get agreement.
He was a despicable human being, and the worst of the worst. But did Hitler have that ability to hypnotize people?
His language, if you go back and look at his speeches, was just rife with hypnotic language.
He had people mesmerized.
Oh, absolutely. Well, let's talk about mesmerized for a second. That's another word. That word came into being from Dr. Mesmer, and he was one of the, I think it was 1784, back in that in France, and he was the Tony Robbins of his day. And he would draw thousands of people to his talks, and he would say that he could heal people by magnetizing items, and people would touch them, and they would go into convulsions and get healed, and so on and so forth. And the what's his name, the king at the time, Louis, said, you know what, we need to look at this guy. There's some weird stuff going on here. And Dr. Mesmer had a reputation, and people would say, look, don't look him in the eyes because he'll mesmerize you. Huh. And that's where that word came from.
Okay. All right.
Okay?
That's cool.
Well, King Louis, they put this commission together, and it was the top doctors of the day, one of them being Dr. Guillotine, who invented the guillotine. And the other person was Benjamin Franklin that was on this commission. And they went in and looked at this guy, and they concluded that he did not have any sort of ability to magnetize anything, that it was just the mind that allowed people to do this. And that was the birth, really, of organized and focused hypnosis of the time, for the like, you know, just using today's word.
Well, what was it, Wayne, about Hitler's speech and patterns that hypnotize people or mesmerize them?
Well, I mean, you just said it. It's the patterns. It's the inflections.
Who taught the guy?
Well, a lot of it. You know what? Who teaches? You know who taught Muhammad Ali to be the greatest boxer that ever lived?
Angelo Dundee.
But he had such a natural ability. But you've got Hitler that would come along and he'd do this, and he practiced in front of the mirrors time and time and time again to get his emotion across and to get people sucked in. And you can go through, you know, look at Jim Jones. That's another example.
Yeah, I had a show on him a couple weeks ago. You're right.
He had that ability. But hypnosis is one of those things. The subconscious mind cannot tell the difference between the truth and the lie. It's just information. It absorbs. Only does when we bring it to our conscious mind can we make that determination whether it's right or wrong or truth or lie. Otherwise, it's just information. And that's what the subconscious mind is designed to do. It's designed to pull this information in and to make it a part of us. Now, it's more prevalent as we're young, until we hit about 16 or 17, when we form our critical mind, if you will, that veil that comes down. And that veil, the critical mind, becomes the filter to either allow things into the subconscious or to reject them. But most of the stuff that we as adults deal with, we're dragging with this from childhood because the subconscious mind has pulled it in and it's become an imprint.
If as an individual you can understand some of the techniques of some of the people who have learned how to do this hypnotize people, mesmerize them, and I don't mean hypnotize them in a medical way.
Right.
But in a emotional type way. You could do incredible things, can't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the subconscious mind is really an amazing thing. It controls everything about us. It controls the beat of our heart, the blink of our eyes, our breathing pattern. All the things that are automatic responses the subconscious mind controls.
Did John F. Kennedy possess any of this?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. All your great orators did. Then, you know, I mean... You know, even Barack Obama, as much as
he was a good speaker.
He had that ability, and he drew people in. Reagan, Jimmy, was another one. Was just.
And I don't think George Bush. I don't think he possessed it.
No, people were drawn to his ideals and his love of country.
Right. And his patriotism.
And his patriotism. I mean, and that. You know, that stands for a lot with people. And they're, you know, when you get the group think, it's just, well, you look at the Me Too movement and how that's going. A lot of that is group think. And when you get group think and you get somebody or groups together and all of a sudden that hypnotic process starts to take effect or take hold, they will do things as a group that they normally wouldn't do as an individual. And that's all because of the subconscious mind going in and becoming a part of that group.
I remember in my early St. Louis talk show days when we had a client who had a hypnotherapy clinic, mm-hmm. and he advertised on the show. And he would do remarkable things to people to make them stop smoking and lose weight. How does that work? How does hypnotism and hypnosis... have the ability to make somebody stop some kind of vice that they've got?
Well, you know what? It's one of those things where, again, the subconscious mind is going to create habits. A lot of the things that we do are habit. For example, if you're, how many times do you go to the refrigerator and you open it up and you look at it, you're not really hungry, but it's just habit that you go there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that process the subconscious mind puts us into that mode and forms these habits. Now, habits, again, subconscious mind can't tell the difference between the truth or a lie or good or bad. It's just information. And it's going to form habits. It doesn't know whether it's good or bad. It's just going to form them.
Well, here's a habit that a lot of people have developed since we have these smartphones, and that is they're constantly looking at it to see if they have a text message when it hasn't even gone off yet.
Well, and I mean, I will submit to you that those people are in a light state of hypnosis at that point.
Okay. I mean, how can you get to the point where you can just put your phone down, look at it when it either beeps or a light goes up and you know you have a text message, rather than pick it up every 4 seconds?
Well, that's one of those things you can do what they call a reverse or a release, and that you can put the person in hypnosis. And a lot of times these people are so deep in hypnosis all the time, getting them out of hypnosis is the process, and then getting them back into hypnosis, and then going through and releasing. Because anything that affects your life or controls your life to a degree is bad. Okay, I don't care who you are. So that needs to be looked at. And there are people, and you've seen them on YouTube, people are so into their phone and they're walking, and they walk into
a pole or something like that,
in the middle of the road or whatever.
Yeah.
The case may be.
Get hit by a car.
I mean, it's no different than a child sitting down and playing video games, and they're so focused on the video game, they're in a state of hypnosis. You could set a bomb off next to them and they wouldn't notice it.
Same thing with people sometimes driving cars. I've seen people stopped at a red light, mm-hmm. and you're behind them. It turns green, and 10 seconds later, they're still sitting there.
Right.
I mean, they're just like locked into something.
It happens all the time. But you had mentioned, you'd asked how does hypnosis help with the stop smoking or the weight loss,
yeah.
Or anything like that. Those are all things that going back in and reprogramming the subconscious. Smokers, I have a very high success rate with smokers. And part of it is I screen the person very heavily before I even take them as a client.
Really? Are some people you just can't get to, or others are easier?
Anybody can be hypnotized. There are people out there that will say, this person can't be hypnotized. I don't believe that. I've never had a person sit down in front of me that wanted to be hypnotized that I couldn't hypnotize.
Do you have to do it in person, or can you do it over the phone?
Well,
not that I'm going to ask you to do that, because we have people driving cars.
Can you do it? Probably. To what degree? Probably not very good or deep, rather. I tend to like to meet with people in person. Now, once I've conditioned them and worked with them, I can work with them over the phone or over the computer or that, because I've conditioned them to do so. But, you know, when you take the chance of hypnotizing somebody over the phone, you don't know where they're at. Are they setting up? Are they going to fall? You don't know how they're going to react to hypnosis, because everybody's different. Okay? So it's something that you want to make sure that you have control of the environment, and just for safety reasons.
And I guess you can hypnotize people for just about any situation?
Anything. I mean, you know what? If people would go to hypnosis first for stuff, if they've got anger issues, if they've got relationships.
Instead of a psychiatrist.
You know what? And I'm not going to say anything bad about psychiatrists.
No, I understand.
You know, the whole talk therapy.
But you can do this without medication.
No, without medication. Absolutely. Because, see, as a hypnotist, I don't care about the history of the person. They're coming to me for a certain issue. Let's say aggression.
Right.
All right. Well,
PTSD.
They come to me and say, I've got an issue with aggression. This is what I need to do. Well, they may think it's a. They have an issue with aggression, but the actual problem could be something completely different.
Wayne, stay with us. We're going to come back and talk more. Plus, I want to really get into some of the things you do with hypnotism and hypnosis. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Wayne Walker with us. We'll take calls with Wayne next hour. Wayne, with hypnosis, can you create a Manchurian candidate? Sirhan Sirhan, for example, the convicted assassin of Robert F. Kennedy, claims that he has no recollection of what happened. Yet he was there. He had a gun in his hand. Whether there were other shooters is, you know, up for debate. But can somebody like that be hypnotized to do that and then not remember it?
Well, here's the thing. Hypnosis, when I work with people on hypnosis, hypnosis is triggered by stress, so I have to create stress within a person, and I do that in various different ways in order to get them into that process of hypnosis. when you have an event like what he did, it's completely possible that he performed that act and then his subconscious mind erased it to where he didn't release it.
Now, on his own or somebody programmed it?
On his own. I mean, it happens all the time. But at the same time, can it be done to a person? Yes and no. And I want to explain this. You can take a person, and if they have the propensity to do those acts, meaning that they don't have the moral fortitude that keeps them performing from not doing something bad. Because what keeps honest people honest are the fear of consequences.
Exactly.
Okay? So when you've got a person that doesn't fear those consequences, or when they have such a hatred in their heart and they have that propensity, and then layer that on top with putting them with a skilled hypnotist over a period of time, they could in fact be hypnotized to perform that act and have it triggered and not remember it if that's the post
suggestion. Interesting. And when you say trigger it, what does that mean?
Well, the triggers in hypnosis, there are trigger words. Like for example, when I'm working with somebody, I'm going to create a trigger word to get that person into hypnosis. It'll be a word that you wouldn't normally hear in everyday language, or maybe a word in French, or whatever the case may be. That trigger word takes them back to that state immediately, and they're conditioned for that. So that's the trigger word. So if somebody's on the street and you pass that person and you see them and they've been conditioned and you say that word, they can throw them into hypnosis immediately.
And when they do it, it's just like night and day?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the power of the subconscious mind. Now, it takes some conditioning to do that, and it takes the right person. You know, if you have certain morals, for example, if I hypnotize somebody and ask them for their ATM card and their PIN code, they're probably not going to give that to me because they probably wouldn't give it to me while they were away.
In the first place, that's right.
In the first place. You're not going to get somebody to do something that they're normally not going to do. So it's just a process of picking the right person. If you've ever seen a hypnosis show, a comedy hypnosis show in Vegas or anything like that, that process is inviting people on stage, and that hypnotist is picking and choosing the people he wants up there and moving the other people away, because he's got very short period of time in order to hypnotize these people to go into that state for a 45-minute show. Okay, so he's picking his people very carefully.
No, that's true. And I used to remember in the old days when I was a kid, variety shows had a lot of hypnotists on doing that with a line of people, you know, act like a duck. And, you know, the audience would go crazy. They'd
right.
laugh like crazy.
Right. Well, and on those shows, what you probably don't see is they've worked with those people ahead of time to condition them for that program. So that is not something that they're just going to call somebody out of the audience. You're going to have a hypnotist that's going to condition those people and choose the people that he wants to work with. And it's no different than me. When I work with a person, I'm asking questions. For example, I was going to say about the stop smoking. If I have a person come to me and say, well, you know, I need to quit smoking, okay, but why hypnosis? Well, my wife told me that I should come here and try hypnosis, and because she's after me to quit smoking. I said, okay, we're done.
Simple as that.
Because if you're not there, if you're there to try something, you're looking for a way to say, well, all right, sweetheart, I tried it. It didn't work. And I'm not willing to go through that time process and waste my time, your time, and take money that's not gonna, for something that's not going to work. Okay? I mean, you have to want to be hypnotized. You have to want to make the changes. Because my opinion, the greatest single tool that we have that we don't utilize is hypnosis. I only see my clients 4 to 6 sessions on an average, and then I'm done with them.
That's it.
It's not a long, drawn-out thing. Okay?
And how do you relax them? I mean, is, you know, in the old days, we'd think the hypnotist had a little pendulum and you went,
Well,
and the
I
guy
mean,
was out.
and that pendulum, I mean, that's, you can use that, and that's one of the ways that you can create stress. But you can do progressive relaxation. You can do eye movement, eye fixation. The body will start giving off signals that a person is getting ready to go into that state of hypnosis. And it's like a neon sign, if you know what you're looking for. And different people are different on how they get there. You know, I talk about how a person learns their learning styles, whether they're an auditory or a visual or a kinesthetic.
Did you ever have a situation, Wayne, where you thought you could not pull the person out of hypnosis, that they were stuck in it?
No, you can't get stuck. I mean, if I turned around and yelled, fire, run for your life, they're going to come out of hypnosis.
You will. Okay.
You will. Yeah.
You're not going to sit there like a zombie.
No, you can't get stuck in hypnosis. If I leave a person, they'll drift off to sleep and then they'll just wake up naturally. And I've done that just to allow them to get some rest or whatever. About 10 minutes later, their eyes will pop open.
How many of them are asleep during hypnosis and they're talking?
Well, that's something that as a hypnotist that we have to watch because, you know, the process of hypnosis and going into it is so, the subconscious mind loves it. It's relaxing. It wants to go there. And it would be very easily for that person to drift off to sleep and start knocking out some Z's. So you have to watch and bring them out in order to stay into that area of where hypnosis is in order to work with them on the issues that they're there for.
Since this has been going on, what's the easiest technique to hypnotize somebody?
Oh, gosh, they're all easy. It's just knowing the person. You know, you can do a speed induction if the person is the right candidate. And it could be simply taking their hand and holding their hand, the palm of their hand up in front of their eyes and say, I want you to focus on this finger, your middle finger, and you start moving it around. And as you're moving your hand, I want you to relax your arm, and you get closer and closer and closer, and pretty soon you touch their finger to their forehead, and you go sleep, and they go out.
Can you hypnotize somebody to be a better student, to be a better baseball player, to be a better communicator? Can you do that?
Yes. It's all. That's why I say it's the greatest tool that we don't take advantage of.
Okay? Huh.
Depression. Okay? I will submit to you today, right now, that depression is nothing more than anchors and triggers that have been embedded while that person has been in an altered state and for depression. That's why they go in and out of depression. That's why all of a sudden a person will they get depressed, because either they've heard a sound, smelled a smell, experience that they're unaware of that throws them into depression.
Do they need to come to you and tell you what their issue is? Or do you get that during an interview set?
Well, they'll tell me, you know, they may tell me something what the issue is, and 90% of the time that's not the issue. And through my questioning, going through and hypnotizing, we discover what the real issue is, because a lot of times what people experience is nothing more than manifestation of a symptom from what's going on.
Somebody,
it's not the real issue.
Somebody comes to you and says, I can't sleep, Wayne. I just can't sleep.
Then yeah, the fact that you can't sleep is a symptom. It's not the reason you can't sleep. So we have to discover why you can't sleep. What's the thing? And then most people say, well, you know, I can't turn my mind off. Do you remember the movie The Last Samurai with
yes.
Tom Cruise?
Yep.
There was a scene in that movie where he was fighting one of the swords people, and they were just throwing him all over the place, and he landed on the ground, and the young Japanese kid came over, and he looked at him, and he goes, too many minds.
Mm-hmm.
Too many minds. And he looked at him and said, what do you mean, too many minds? Well, that's what people...
Well, he meant Cruz wasn't concentrating.
It wasn't concentrating, but he was allowing all the other peripheral stuff to come into play that he didn't need to be thinking about. He needed to be able to focus. And this is where the process of becoming self-centered comes in. Most people hear those two words, being self-centered, as a negative thing. But if you look at those two words, self-center, you need to self-center yourself. And sometimes we need to do that on a daily basis, to self-center ourselves in order to be able to operate at our peak, to ask the right questions. And a lot of it comes down to asking ourselves the right question. Have you ever looked at across a restaurant or a store, and you look at a person, you go, and you say, you know what, I know that guy or that person.
Right, or where did I meet that person or
something?
Well,
as soon as you ask that question, what's their name, that's a loop question. You've just given your subconscious mind permission to search for that name. It will not stop until it discovers what that person's name is. And it could be 5 minutes, it could be an hour, it could be tomorrow, and all of a sudden you go, Sam.
Yep, exactly. Okay. It comes to you.
Well, that's the subconscious mind. That's the power that we have with the subconscious mind, that if we put it to work for us on anything, on overcoming the bad habits, on relationships, on the sleep issues, anger issues, depression, assisted healing. It's been proven that if a person will go through the process of hypnosis prior to surgery and after surgery, they will heal 3 times quicker.
Wow.
And they will use less pain medication.
I was going to say pain management would be exceptional, wouldn't it?
That's right. Here's one. About 3 years ago, my wife was going to have a procedure done where they wanted to do a biopsy in her neck. And she came to me and she goes, you know what? She goes, they want to do this biopsy. They said they're going to have an anesthesiologist put me under. She goes, I don't want to do the anesthesiologist. I want you to hypnotize me. And I said, are you sure? She goes, yes. I said, okay. So I worked with her for about a week and a half. And I took her and put her into hypnosis, took her down, dropped her deep. And I had her conditioned to where all I had to do was say a word or snap my fingers or whatever. So we get to the doctor's office and we go to the nurse's station, and she says, okay, we're going to get you ready. The anesthesiologist will be here. She goes, no. I said, I don't want the anesthesiologist. My husband's going to hypnotize me. And you would have thought that we had...
Oh, my gosh, that you had committed mortal sins or something.
And they said, well, let me go talk to the doctor. So she went back in the back, talked to the doctor, came back out. And she says, okay. So the doctor came out and says, okay, so we're ready for you. So we go back, and my wife lays down on the thing there, and I said the 2 words and put her in hypnosis. I said, okay, do whatever you got to do. And the doctor looked at me. He said, are you sure? I said, just do whatever you got to do. So I went back out in the waiting room, and about 10 minutes later, the doctor came back out. He goes, well, we're done. He says, but we have a problem. I said, what is it? He says, we can't wake her up. I said, oh, that's my part. So I go back.
Well, now let me ask you something.
Yeah.
If you weren't around, would she be in that state forever?
No, she'd just wake up. She was just in a deep state of relaxation.
Okay.
And she would come out. So I went back, said my word. She comes up, and the doctor said, that is the damnedest thing I've ever seen.
I bet. And I bet he doubted you.
Oh, of course. That they all do. I mean, people always doubt something that they don't understand.
I thought you were going to say he came back and said, Wayne, do you know what she said? And you'd say, what? And he'd go, ouch.
Well, that's another story. We'll get into that later.
It's, you know, I've got a high pain threshold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes my dentist will go, my God, you know, I've given you Novocaine, but you don't even flinch when I stick the needle in you. And I've just been able to blot that out. Is that self-hypnosis?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But see, here's the thing, George. If you took and went through 3, maybe 4 sessions with a hypnotist to learn how to do self-hypnosis,
mm-hmm.
You take that, what you just told me, and multiply it by a factor of 10.
Yeah, I'd be that good.
We have that ability.
With anything.
With anything. And that's the greatest thing about hypnosis. And well, and it's also the saddest, is because people don't think about hypnosis. They think about, well, you're going to make me quack like a duck or cluck like a chicken. And it's just, that's not it.
Whenever I do a live stage show, you know, and there's 500 to 1,000 people out there, I always just take a moment, you know, a slow, deep breath before I'm out on stage, and off I go. And I love it. I don't get nervous. I mean, I just thrive on it. Is that self-hypnosis?
Well, that is a form, but you're self-centering yourself.
What does that mean?
Well, you self-center. You're arranging the butterflies. You're lining everything up. You're putting your ducks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because the subject matter, you know. Okay.
It's
like an athlete. Their muscle memory is there. It's when they get too many minds that they start interfering with the muscle memory.
Right. I was always told that superstars, whether it's in any sport, had the ability to slow down time. And I'll just use a baseball player, for example. Mickey Mantle for the Yankees had the ability to make the ball look like it was floating at him before he knocked the heck out of it and into the stands.
Right. I mean, that's self-hypnosis. That's being in the zone.
I love it. Wayne, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and take phone calls, questions for you. Maybe some people have gone through hypnosis, and you want to share that story with us as well. Wayne Walker, our guest on Coast to Coast AM.